Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome. To Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Thank you for being with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. And as always, we always begin with song, scripture, and prayer. So join us with devotion, and we'll be hearing from Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart.
Oh,
Amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to start our Bible study is about transformed by trouble. And Brian, if you would please read the scripture for us tonight.
Reading 2 Corinthians from the New International Version, starting at verse chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure of jars of clay to show that this is all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And amen. Amen.
Lord, we come before you tonight, and as we come, we're asking you to lead, guide, and direct us, for we understand that we can do nothing without you. And as we come to this Bible study, we need you tonight. We need you to lead, guide, and direct us. We need to hear a word from you, a word of direction, a word of clarity, a word about the truth of that which we're studying, that you would give us revelation, knowledge, and spiritual insight. We ask that you bless our facilitator, Brian Mitchell, tonight, and that you would give him an extra portion of the Holy Spirit to guide him during this time. We ask also that our Bible study guests will come and participate, and we can work together to give you honor, glory, and praise as their listeners around the world are looking also to hear a word from you. We ask that you bless us now, forevermore, in Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 So as we do a roll call, I just want to do a little bit of etiquette. If you will please, if you have a speaker phone, try not to put your phone on speaker. If you have a headset, that works better. But when you put it on speaker, we hear background noise in the studio, echoing and stuff like that. So if that happens and you wonder why you're cut off, because I'll control it in the studio so that the noise is not there. Also, I'm going to also ask that as you are focusing on the question that we're talking about tonight, that if you hear me say, "Amen, brother," or just maybe I have to say, okay, one second rule or something like that. That means, you know, 1 minute rule that, you know, you need to kind of answer the question and wrap it up. Because we really don't have much time, but we really want to be more effective and answering our questions. We've had a really good time, and we have a great group, and God is blessing us through the ministry of those who have chosen to participate on the Bible study. So we're excited about that, and we look forward to hearing what God has to say about our Bible study tonight. So as we go forward, this month we've been dealing with, starting the 3rd of March, we talked about transformed by truth. And Brother Eric Jefferson taught us that lesson last week, and he'll be teaching more lessons to come. Tonight we're dealing with the title, Transformed by Trouble. Now, I know many of us have dealt with this issue, how we go through challenges in life and how the Lord actually transforms us as we undergo adversity. And so tonight we're going to examine some of those points. And we ask that you join us. And if you want to call into the line and be a part of the panel, the number is 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. So if you will please let us know who's on a roll call. And then after that, I will turn it over to Brian. Who's on the roll call? Who's on the roll for roll call? And write these down so,
this
Brian, you know
from,
to call people's names.
This is Brett from Indianapolis.
Hey, brother.
This is Eric from a lot of places. A lot of blankness.
Anybody else on the line?
This is Joan from Maine.
Hey, Joan. Good to hear from you. You sound a little better. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, then. So we're going to get started. Brian, if you're ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Hey, I am ready to go. I'm going to introduce this topic, Transformed by Trouble. It's a difficult topic. It's a topic which trips many people up and has tripped me up at times throughout my Christian walk, and certainly tripped me up before I became a Christian and a follower of Jesus as an example in my life. I'm going to start off by quoting from the Purpose Driven Life book by Rick Warren, day 25, Transformed by Trouble. He uses circumstances to develop our character. In fact, he depends more on circumstances to make us like Jesus than he depends on our reading the Bible. The reason is obvious. You face circumstances 24 hours a day. I'll bet there's no one here who can say their life has been peaches and cream all the way through and there's not really been any challenges. I think that's a pretty valid assumption.
I think so.
Again, this is a challenging topic. It's one which can be really dark and difficult. But, you know, we've all worked hard today. This is our evening, a chance to spend some time with friends who have their mind and heart on Jesus Christ and who are looking to improve their circumstances, are looking to enrich their lives. We're all doing that. You know, we're all friends. Let's enjoy ourselves together and let's have some fun with this really challenging topic and see what the Lord has for us. And let's listen to the Holy Spirit as we go through this. God uses problems to draw us closer to himself. So if that's true, how would you describe the process of moving away from God when faced with trouble? How does that differ, and how would you describe that?
This is Eric. I would describe that for a child of God to be self-defeating. If you're going to withdraw from God in the face of trouble, then you're going to defeat yourself before you even get started in that trouble. I think the easiest way to explain that is most of us have read the poem "The Footprints in the Sand," and you know the short version is, you know, the question was asked, "Well, I see two sets of footprints in the sand as we walked along, and everything was fine, but yet in my darkest days, I only saw one," and that's where Jesus says, "Well, that's where I carried you. You didn't walk alone. I carried you."
Amen. All right.
And that really is what transpires. And God doesn't tempt anybody, but God does want to know what your faith is. And some circumstances that we face can surely be to see where your faith lies. Because so many times we get caught up in, you know, well, I got this education, so I'm good. You know, I got this good job, I'm good. I got a bank account that's got money, and I'm good. I got this, you know, very nice house, I'm good. And God is like, yeah, but I need to know if you truly worship me, if you truly love me, if you truly believe me.
All right.
I think if we find ourselves, as I said at the start of it, if we find ourselves moving away from God in the midst of circumstances, then we're self-defeating ourselves.
Amen, Eric. That's extremely well said. Thank you very much for that. One of the factors of many is the environment in which we were raised. Many people are raised in really strong Bible-believing Christian families where relying on God, not taking the why me or woe am I attitude when problems come up, is ingrained in them from the beginning. I was not in that situation. I grew up Roman Catholic. My parents would go to church on Sunday, and they would practice things like not cussing in the evening. It was okay to cuss during the daytime, but they felt after supper you shouldn't cuss because that was showing faith. there was a convoluted set of rules. I know, but it's ridiculous when you think of it.
Let me say this, because Dr. Susie and Brett gonna laugh when I say this. Because in a lot of Baptists, they'd say, "Well, let me lay down my religion and then cuss you." And then after they got done, they picked their religion back up.
Oh my! Yeah, we're fallen people.
Oh, have mercy!
Oh. You know, I'm telling the truth, right?
That's right.
You're telling the truth.
Yeah.
You are telling the truth. Unfortunately.
Oh. Yeah, unfortunately.
I specifically remember the reverent moment when we would be with relatives or friends, and I was young. I was probably like 7 or 8 years old when this specific situation happened over at my uncle Rusty's place. There were probably 20 of us, maybe 25 of us. They gathered after Roman Catholic Mass for a meal. And the reverent moment was the only time I ever heard my parents or any relatives pray was for the blessing before food. I never, ever heard them pray at any other time. But so we're in this reverent moment, and my Uncle Rusty is praying over the food. And my father, his fork slipped, and it flung some food on his Sunday clothes, and he cussed. My Uncle Rusty stops and said, "Jimmy, at least don't cuss during the prayer." And of course, everybody cracks up laughing. But I mean, that's for us, you know? You know, and for those of us who grew up in the woe is me attitude, I mean, my mother would be upset at God for a week because a cat got run over, you know, and she'd cuss and curse and ask him why he does these things to us. And, you know, so she was talking to God, but it was in an angry way. And my father would be angry if the finances weren't good or he was working hard and the job didn't go well. So I grew up in that negative environment, which is real challenging. Has anybody else here grown up in that kind of a negative environment?
Well, I think we all kind of saw things that were, this is Dr. Susan, I think we always, many of us saw things that were contrary to what the Bible said. I mean, I remember that the Baptist folk at the church would say, well, you know, we got this big covenant, and we'd always read the covenant years ago when I was a kid. And then, like Eric was saying, and then you find people sneaking the paper bags of booze up in the hotel rooms when they go places, but they got this big covenant so you don't drink. So there's always things that, you know, people, we know what's right to do, and but we hide instead of being authentic, but we're only hiding from ourselves because God already knows. So,
amen.
Amen to that. Well,
this is Britt. This is Britt.
Go ahead, Britt.
Yeah, I wanted to shed some light on something, and I know Dr. Susie knows. When there is a death in the family, and as ministers, when we have to preach the funeral, there's two things that's going to happen. It is going to bring people closer to Jesus and Christ, or it's going to push them away. And it's not surprising to find people that, quote unquote, are the first ones to always quote a Bible verse, or to say something that is supposed to be quote-unquote Christian, are the ones that walk away. They quit going to church. They don't understand why a guy had to take this person. They prayed. They've asked God to help them, help that person, whatever, and the person still dies. Well, God has a plan for us before we're even born. And people forget that. God knows everything about you. There is nothing that you can do on this earth that God doesn't see or know about. I don't care if you're in a bedroom with the drapes drawn and loud music playing. God still knows and hears all. So the thing is that if you are truly a Christian, then you'll understand what happens when there is a death. That opens a doorway for you to pray more, to allow your faith to work and to help you understand more about why God does what he does. You can't learn if you don't have some bumps. You didn't learn to walk without falling. Some of us bounced off the couch. You know, some others hit the table. Some fell out of a chair. But the thing is, you always have some kind of pain or some kind of hurt that goes along with learning anything. Even in school, you didn't do good in school. What did they do? They put you in study hall. That was painful, man.
Very well said. That certainly was.
That's it.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I know that is awesome. Well, Satan and his followers have a role to play, and they know how to play their role in all of this, in causing problems, in making problems worse, and in attacking us when problems come up. How do we know when their efforts are in play?
So, this is Eric. So, that's a very good question, Brian. And let me give my perspective on that, is that in most circumstances, you can tell that comes into play from the devil and his followers, because everything that the devil does is by design to get you to question your faith in God. Sometimes we as Christians forget that there is a war for your soul.
Amen.
And it can only go one of two ways. Can't straddle the fence. Christ said, I wish you were hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. There is a fight, and God created man. And so let's go way back. God created man with the ability to choose. Free will means man could choose.
Amen.
He wanted Adam to follow what he instructed Adam to do because he knew it was best for Adam. But he gave Adam that choice, and Adam chose not to. And because Adam chose not to, God still wanted man to be a part of him, to love him freely by choice. And the only way that he could redeem man after Adam's decision was through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had to become a blood sacrifice. And so
Amen.
We who say that we are Christians are in this battle daily, hourly, minutely, for our faith and our belief in God. And if we would just by chance be honest enough and true enough with ourselves that we don't always get it right, most times we're not right, but to ask God to forgive us, the God who made us, the God who created us, the God who knows everything about you, as Brett said, before you were even born, he knew.
Amen.
Then we could continue
Amen.
That fellowship. But when it is impossible, the scripture says it is impossible
to please
God without faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that.
That's what it says.
Perhaps we can summarize it this way, because this may give us a barometer or a compass. When Satan's involved and he's pushing at us while we're experiencing problems, we would feel ourselves drawing away from God, relying more on ourselves, relying on science, technology, human understanding. That's when we would know Satan's pulling us, or Satan's confusing us or deceiving us. If it's not Satan, we feel ourselves drawing closer to God, becoming more like Christ, handling the problem by looking through the problem into the future and listening to the Holy Spirit to see what he has for us. So that's probably one way to parse that. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. As you're talking about the enemy, those things drawing you away from God, and that's exactly what you're going to find as well when you look in the Bible for an answer. You're going to find that it's contrary to the truth that you know. You're going to find that, for example, if I'm dealing with something at work and I'm experiencing fear, then I know that's not of God, because God says in his word, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear.
I didn't give you a spirit, right?
But of love,
I didn't give
peace,
you a spirit of fear.
And
right.
a sound mind.
Amen.
So that's how you can
Amen.
Know that it's not of God, when you know the word. And that's why you need to be diligent in Bible study, so that you can have the word not only just upon your lips, but in your heart. Dr. Susie.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Brett. Yeah, this is Brett. Dr. Susie, you can stop me if you feel I'm getting off course. The last show that Steve Harvey had, he had Pastor Jakes on. And the question was, they asked Steve Harvey, what is he going to do next? And Steve started talking about his faith. But Bishop stopped him and told him, he said, you're not supposed to know everything. Because if you knew everything, you wouldn't have faith. And so are the verses the diversities that we have in our lives have produced a lot of great things. He pointed out that in our times of war, when there's a Great Depression and stuff, of people worrying about their loved ones and stuff, that's when people rise to the top and they develop more things. He said, look at the cell phone we have now. Look at the lights. Look at our transportation. All of this was developed during the war. And so the thing is that diversity plays a great part in our lives, because if we didn't have something that would hurt us, it wouldn't make us start thinking outside of the box. And so therefore, we have a lot of great things that come out of the diversity that we have living in the pain that we have. When Satan tries to come against us, God has a better idea.
Amen.
Amen to that.
This is Eric. I also think that he, not necessarily in circumstances that we put ourselves in to cause us problems, then we want to run to God to take those, straighten those out. There are other things, and I'm reminded of an old story, factual or true, I don't know. It's been handed down from a lot of different preachers, but, you know, supposedly a community, a farming community in Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, take your pick, was having issues because it wasn't raining, and their crops were failing. The crops failing, and they can't take care of the family and feed their family. And this went on for, you know, about 2 months, and the pastor says, well, on next Wednesday, we're going to have a prayer meeting, and we're going to be praying for rain. And the congregation, like, that pastor, that's a great idea. Yeah, we're gonna turn to God and ask Him to intercede in our issue. And they all show up, and they don't have any umbrellas. And the pastor said, well, we won't be having a prayer meeting tonight because evidently you don't believe it because none of you have umbrellas. So where's your faith?
Yeah.
You said we believe, and we go.
There you go.
Absolutely.
You show
Absolutely.
Up for a prayer meeting for rain, and you don't bring an umbrella. And so sometimes there are things that go, and you know, like I said, I don't know if it's true or I don't know, but it makes sense, because sometimes there are things that go on in our lives that are just things that happen. And sometimes those things happen because we need to know if we truly do believe in God. And the prime example for that is Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brother.
All right.
But needed to be put in that situation to go through prison, to be accused by Potiphar's wife, to end up to save a nation. But yet he had faith that God would remove him from those chains and exalt him
Amen.
At some point in time. So sometimes it's
Amen.
Not always the enemy. Sometimes God just needs to know, what do you believe and what do you have faith in?
Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Quoting from Rick's book, regardless of the cause, none of your problems could happen without God's permission. Because he is in control
Amen.
Of everything, you know, and I've met people who do get angry at God because they know that these problems that they're having, the circumstances they're in, wouldn't happen without his permission. But that's the wrong way to go about it. You know, the problems are there to force us to look at God and depend on him instead of ourselves, even in spite of ourselves.
You know, this is Chapa Susie. I'm sorry. I was just listening to what you were saying, Brian, and I think it just blew me away when you were basically saying that everything that happens has some spiritual significance. And, you know, we think about stuff happening and we can sit down and figure out, we say, woe is me or why, you know, and when we move beyond the why questions to, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to do? You know what I'm saying? Move away from the why questions to the what questions.
Yes.
But even in that, going the next step and saying, what is the spiritual significance of what has happened? what are you saying to me, God? How does this connect to you? And
that's right.
You know, maybe that's the time to bring the umbrella, you know, to the situation. You know, walk in faith and understanding that God has it. And if you're walking like God really has it, then you got to, you know, for I like the umbrella analogy, that you're walking around with a, with believing that God has it and that you're not walking as if God doesn't have it. But that faith walk has already begun.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
It's probably a very good time to read in the NIV. I'll quote Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29, very important in this context for tonight. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. How does that powerful verse fit into this study?
Hey, this is Eric. Yes, Brian, can I read that in a New Living Translation format too?
Please.
And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. And I want to add on to something what Dr. Susie just said before we read that, is because, yeah, we need to be asking the questions, the why, the, you know, what I get out of this. But I think the answer is self-evident if we are true believers. Because in any circumstances, it's how do we get God the glory?
Amen.
How do we get God the glory for whatever it is that we're going through? Because even when Jesus was facing death at the cross, he said, not my will, but thine will.
Yes.
How
Amen.
Do I uplift you, Father, even in the midst of me dying on this cross for these people who don't know what they're doing? Even Job said, told his wife, you talk like a foolish woman. God give it, God take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How do we, through our circumstances, get God the glory that God so richly deserves? And I think that's where we struggle.
Amen.
This is Brett.
Amen.
I think that comes through prayer and praising and thanking him in our daily prayers that we have every day, or we should be having
Amen.
Every day.
Amen. Amen.
And the thing is, the first thing, I get up about 4:30 in the morning, and the first thing I do is say, thank you, Lord. You allow me to see another day. So what's on tap for today? Where are we going? What are we going to do? And the thing is, when you start your life on a positive note, thanking God for just giving you another day to be here, things will work out. Things have a way of doing it. And what we have to understand is that the life that we have is not our own life. We're living the plan that God has already created us before we even became a baby in our mother's womb. He knows us. He knows our spirit. This body that we have, it's going to stay here on this earth, but our spirit is going to rise. Now, once it gets to heaven, what happens there, hey, that depends on how you live your life. But we have to remember two parts to us. One, there's the physical part of us, and the second part is our spiritual part, and what we're looking for is eternal life, which is spiritual. You know,
Amen
if I get
to
heaven, I don't want to have back pains. I don't want to have headaches. I don't want to have diabetes or heart problems. That's not going to be that way in heaven. God's already prepared a place for us. We just have to keep the faith and be confident that the fact that God has said this and has given us his word, and he has never lied to us. But we have to be faithful to him. And we have to let our faith work for us.
Well, God intends for us to become more like Jesus. So how do we know what that means?
This is Eric. I chuckle because I haven't perfected walking on water yet, and I don't know that I shall anytime soon. but what I think he means, what I think that means is that Jesus trusted God even until the point of death.
Amen.
And death is something that we as mortals, we struggle with because we don't understand it, because we think it is the finality of our existence. As Brother Brett said, you know, when this body dies, this dusty body dies, it's staying here or wherever whatever they do with it. But the spirit is going back to the Lord to give it. And we as mortals, we don't quite understand that plane yet. But Jesus understood that and had faith that God would raise him from the dead and set him on high on his throne, which he did. And we can't get there. So he's asking us to have that same type of faith. And if you've got that type of faith, then you're gonna react and carry on in a different manner. If you're truly this
Amen.
Changed person, you're gonna be a peculiar person. You're gonna be mindful of how you treat people and what you say and the things that you do and the things that you think. Because as Brett said earlier, you're gonna be spending time in God's words trying to figure out the basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's the Bible. The basic instructions before leaving Earth, and it gives us a little commentary to show us what God did for the Israelites. And I know Dr. Susan, I talked about this a couple of days ago, and I think it's a true picture of the God that we serve and how much he loves those who say that he loves them. The children of Israel were so disobedient and so rebellious that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right?
All right.
It said till a whole generation had to die off, because when God told them to go to the promised land, they murmured and didn't go. Talked about going back to Egypt. So a whole generation had to die off, right? But in the wilderness, he fed them with manna from heaven. He gave them quails beyond numbers till they gagged on it. He gave them water from a rock. And the Bible clearly tells us that in that 40 years, their clothes and shoes didn't wear out, nor did their feet swell. Now, you try walking around for 40 years in a desert.
Amen.
You try walking 40 days in a desert. But even in spite of their rebellion and in their hardness of their heart, he said he loved them and he still provided for them, just as he did for Christ. And he went as far as Christ went as far as even unto death. I'm faithful, Father, that you will do what you said you would do. And that's where I think he's asking us to be like Christ, that even until death, that we would be faithful enough to believe that God has our best interests at heart, even when we can't see it.
That's right. Amen to that. That's why it's so vital that we continue, as Susie said earlier, to focus on God's plan and what God is doing in our life and how the circumstance or trouble we're in fits into God's plan for us, rather than to focus on the pain or the problem, because the more we laser beam and focus on the pain of the problem, the less brain time we're going to have to look at what God is actually doing in our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Sue, are you still there?
I am.
You remember a little while ago, we you know, it was many, many years, but we came up with that little phrase, let go and let God.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we would hold on to stuff and try to figure out stuff and try to deduce and all of that. And it didn't matter what we did or what we thought or what we came up with. It was still about God.
And it's always about God. And the more that we study, the more that we learn, the more we realize it was about God and not about us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And I would say this is Eric again. This is Eric again. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to yield because I want to hear from. Is it Joan? I haven't heard from her tonight. But for those that are listening. Yeah, I just want to make sure you know that we wasn't monopolizing your time. I'm sorry, but I just want to encourage anybody that's listening is that we need to be intentional about walking in faith in whatever our circumstances are. You're right. You may not know where that next meal is coming from. You may not know how you're gonna pay your rent. You may not understand why, you know, that is happening on your job. You may not understand why your family is falling by the wayside. But you need to be faithful enough to pray to God for what it is that you think would be improved. But most importantly, asking God to show you what his will would be for you in that circumstance. And I think
Amen.
That makes all
Amen.
The difference in the world.
Amen.
Indeed.
You know, the most direct way which we can use to learn about Jesus and what his life was like, what his philosophy was, because we're working to become more like him, of course, is to look very, very carefully and read everything and study everything and reflect on everything and pray on everything that he showed us during his time on earth. What are some of the things that we know Jesus did? There's already been some discussed tonight, but what are some of the things that he showed us as examples of how to handle adversity while on earth?
This is Britt. One of the things that he taught his disciples and us is that how to pray. And it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The thing is, we have to understand that we have to give it all to our Heavenly Father. Jesus, the Son, gave us a lot of lessons, a lot of ways that we are supposed to act and stuff. And what surprised me is that it doesn't take that much courage to follow Jesus. But people are so quick to follow the devil. You're so quick to get your paycheck on Friday and go to the club Friday night and Saturday. But you won't show up for church on Sunday. You can't serve two masters. If you follow the one, he's going to take you down the wrong path. And hopefully it's not too late when you start calling on Jesus. It's like we had talked some years ago, and I said when I was in Nam and people were dying, I didn't hear any atheists. Somebody always said, teach me how to pray, that was an atheist. And the thing is that God calls everybody home at some point in time. You don't know when it's going to be. It could be after this Bible study, we could lose some people. Yeah. Or you go to sleep tonight and not wake up. But you got to be right with God. I remember years ago when we used to go to Louisville, there was three crosses, and one of them said on there, get right with God. And the thing is that You got to get right with God. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us as his people to come to him, to recognize that we have sinned, to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, and we will be saved. Our spirit will be saved. But a lot of people don't believe that. They look for proof because they live in the now, this world, and they don't have that spiritual eye to see what God is telling them to do and has already given them the Bible. If they would just open it and read it, they can find their salvation. They join our Bible study. People get saved. We bring them closer to Christ. We just hope that they keep coming back and learn more each day. Every Tuesday when we are on here and we are talking about Jesus, when we have Bible study, this Bible study, you grow in the Spirit to help you apply what you learn today tomorrow. That's what Bible study is about, to learn about what thus says the Lord, to be accurate about it, and to take it out and make it effective for everybody. I'm done.
Amen. Amen, Brian, this is Eric. Can I read something real quick? This is St. Matthew. I'm going to start in the 3rd at the 16th. And this is, you asked the question about what were some of those things that Jesus did. And I think this is appropriate because I think this is the number one thing that it's about the first thing that he taught us. It said, after his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water and the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, and I am fully pleased with him. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing and became very hungry. Then the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scripture says people need more than bread for their lives. They must feed on every word of God. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, notice the devil is quoting scripture. He orders his angels protect you, and they will hold you with their hands and keep you from striking your foot on the stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God. The devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will only kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
Amen.
Jesus taught us in the midst of our circumstances, we need to be telling the devil what thus says the Lord. We need to be familiar with God's word. We need to be living in it, breathing it, eating it. What in the Old Testament it said, writing it on their foreheads, writing it on their fingers, writing it on the doorposts and the bedposts, writing it everywhere and getting it in your heart that you can come back and quote that. And that was the number one thing, is that it all goes back to God. And I truly appreciate that the scripture also says that you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. That even in the midst of your circumstances, God still got your back. And I'll stop.
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, right.
Well, one thing that we need to do is refuse to give up, to be patient and to be persistent. Quoting James chapter 1,
Let the process go on until your endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men of mature character with no weak spots. And that's a lifelong process for us. You know, for many of the reasons we already have shared this evening, it really is a lifelong character building, slow, gradual process, which we can short circuit at any time by taking our eyes off God and putting our eyes on ourselves.
This is Dr. Susie. I got a quick question. You know, how many of us have, when we've gone through adversity, gotten on our knees and drawn closer to God? Just curious, how many of us that whenever things get rough, whenever life is tough, whenever things are difficult, does it not draw you closer to the Lord? Amen, yes or no?
Amen.
This is Eric.
This is Britt. Yes.
Resounding yes.
Yes.
Just,
amen.
Yes.
And Brian says yes.
Absolutely. And I think that's what jumps out at me with this whole lesson is I'm just reminiscing to, you know, I'm thinking of the worst thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. And I think it was when I lost my daughter. And, you know, what happened? And sometimes the enemy is so crafty that he wants you to blame God. I don't know how many people I pastor and I walk alongside that they want, it's like something bad happens, they want to blame God. This lady came to me just yesterday. Some devastating things happened in her family. And she would say, why would God allow that to happen? I said, why would you think it was God? You know, God allows things to happen, but God doesn't cause everything to happen. And so
Amen.
We have to be real clear when we're experiencing adversity that we understand that the enemy's job, I think Eric said it, is to seek to and fro the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And that's the whole reason why God told us to put on our armor. That's the reason why he gave us the armor to put on every day so that we would be ready and prepared, because that's a fact of life, adversity.
Amen.
And it's a purpose of it. There's a purpose for it. And that purpose, it has many purposes, but sometimes the enemy throws it to tear you down and push you away from God. But God allows it because God knows when we are committed to the Lord, we one of the things, David was something else. But you know, whenever the chips were down, he went running to God, a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
Wow. You've actually, Dr. Susie, made me think of a friend of mine from who I lost in touch with 20 years ago. Him and his family became Mennonites and moved out of Maine and moved to Pennsylvania, and that's how I lost track of him. But he did something which I've never seen anyone else do, and he used to claim that it was due to his understanding that adversity and a lot of the negative aspects of adversity and troubles and problems are exacerbated by and kind of the fire is fanned by Satan and his minions. So when he would have a problem or something would happen in his life that was indicating that Satan was at work, he would cuss out Satan. I never heard him cuss the Lord in any way or use the Lord's name in vain any time, which is what most people do when they have a problem. If they're not saved, especially, or if they slip, they'll cuss the Lord's name. But he used to cuss out Satan or cuss out and he'd sometimes go on a rant, cussing out the demons and ejecting them in the Lord's name from his life or from that circumstance. Has anybody else ever seen anybody actually cuss Satan out like that when problems happen? And is that even an appropriate response?
Well, this is Eric. I've not seen it, but if it worked for him, it's appropriate.
I'm like, let me move on out the way.
shoes.
Well, this is Joe.
Go ahead,
Joe. I know someone that who does that, but I once heard from my mom says, never acknowledge the devil. So don't even give him a chance to even just praise that name. He says, so I guess I've heard that person because he keeps saying about the evil calling, and then but I told my mom about it, and my mom says, never give the devil a worship name or worshiping the name or praising the name, only God. She says, so I don't know. It makes sense to me, so I better not say anything about the devil's name. Yes.
Well, this is Eric. This is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. I'm going to condense one. So humble yourself. No, actually, I'm going to do verse 8, 8 through 11. Be careful. Watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore you, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you very much for that. That's a real good point for us to wrap up tonight. It's been a very uplifting, very energetic fellowship tonight. Thank you all for your participation and for making this a really great night for all of us. I for one certainly appreciate it very much. Dr. Susie, I'll turn it over to you at this point.
Amen.
Amen.
What we'd like to do at this time, we'd like to have Brother Eric to close us with an invitation, inviting them to get involved in a Bible-believing church. We'd like to have Brett come behind him and close us for the night. So if you'd start, Eric, we appreciate it.
Oh, I'm going to begin that. Thank you, Dr. Susan. I'm going to begin that with a prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercy. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence this evening to study your word, Father. We hope that we will leave here approved, Father, that we may go out into the world and let your light so shine that others may know that you loved mankind and you love mankind enough to allow your only begotten Son to be crucified on a cross, his blood to be spilled, though he knew no sin, through his death and resurrection, that all could be saved, all those who would want to. And so if you're listening to my voice and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you just to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life and take control. I humble myself before you to be your servant, to let you be the Lord and ruler of my life, Father. I confess that I have fallen short and that I am a sinner. But through you, Lord Jesus Christ, I can be saved, to be reaffirmed and reconnected with God Almighty, and ask that you would come into my life and take control. And if you've prayed that prayer and believed that prayer, you have been saved. Christ has entered your life and will take control. And we ask that at that point,
amen,
that you would find a Bible-believing church where you can begin to have fellowship. And if you've not been baptized, to even get baptized, to show, baptism is only the show of your new faith that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And so we would ask that you would,
amen,
find a church that you could believe in and worship with and begin fellowship with. And we ask that you would join us again for that confession and that belief. You are saved by Jesus Christ at this point.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen to that. Thank you for
joining us today. We are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
invite someone and have them call in along with you. Next week, our subject is going to be growing through temptation. Don't forget to call 646-478-4932. Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. See you next week. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Okay.